Welcome back, man. This is episode 5, man, of Cinema with the Guys, season 1 of The Sopranos, man. We are back. If you're listening to this on Patreon, we are glad you're continuing your trek with us through Sopranos season 1. I'm glad you're included. If you're binging it, this is awesome. If you're following it with your rewatch or your first time watching, we appreciate you. If you are not a subscriber, number one, what are you waiting for? Subscribe right now. Patreon.com/barberschairnetwork, $10 barberschair all access feed, and you can get this, man. If you're just following the regular feed, we still fuck with y'all too. Welcome to week 5. So I will turn it over to my brother here as we get into episode 9.
Of course, this nigga tasked me with discussing the episode. I get it though, bro. I'm like a god.
You're more knowledgeable because you watched it mad times.
Yeah. Well, we start off episode 9 of season 1. This is Boca. You'll know as Boca because Junior takes his little shorty, who I wonder how long he's been dating her.
They said it's like the 80s.
Okay, they said it's like a while.
84, I think they said.
So about 15 years to that point. And at this time, it's Junior, it's Livia, and it's AJ. They're at the grave of Johnny Boy, Soprano, Tony's mother. And basically, once again, Livia is shitting on her son. Basically saying how, my son, the mental patient. And it really just continues to set the relationship, the stage for the relationship, being contentious. Tony tries. I got to admit, I think Tony truly tried with his mother. If it's anything I give Tony credit for throughout the series. All right, let me raise my table up. There we go. If it's anything I give Tony credit for throughout the series, is that he tried with his mother. I mean, he literally tried, but Livia is just... I mean, she is toxic times 10. And you will see as the more Tony starts to not pay attention to her, to not let her power get in the way of him, she tries to exert more power, basically by dishing dirt on him. And it's just really a dirty tactic. But then that just goes to show you that Soprano family as a whole, if they're not cursed, they're just all toxic, except Meadow. Well, Meadow's like her father, but Meadow seems to have a better...
Meadow not toxic. She just got a mouth on her.
And so the next thing we go to, it is... Tony, Artie Bucco, Silvio, their children, their daughters all play soccer at this high school. And the coach of the soccer team, basically they're trying to give him favors. So they go back to Bada Bing and they're discussing basically how they can help him out. I don't think he's told them yet that he's going to leave, the soccer coach. But they're basically trying to give him favor, get him ingratiated with him. Not to like bleed him dry, but just to know how, you know, appreciated he is, and by showing him love. And so then you move on to the episode, moves pretty quickly. Yeah. Because the next direct scene goes to Junior, Mikey Palmice, and his lawyer just discussing what they're going to do in regards to him being the boss and with Tony. Mikey Palmice, who I hate, this is when he truly started to basically put himself in a better position. You know, basically put himself in a position to become a captain, take over Tony's crew, and they're trying to find out who is the leak within the family, not the crew, because all individual crews, but within the family. And Mikey is saying, man, if there's a leak, it's in Tony's boat. So this is a power play that he's making. You fast forward to the next scene. Of course, we don't go over every scene, but I like to go over the scenes that are important. And this scene really paints the, you don't find out, but the star player of the soccer team. Meadow and all of her friends are sitting there drinking hooch, it looks like. They got like the freaking liquor bottles with the freaking brown paper bag around them. Which, remember the song? Brown paper bag.
Brown paper bag.
One of the star girls of the soccer team is Ali is her name. She got big cuts going on her wrist because she's feeling... We don't know just yet, but she's...
I don't know the... what would be the feeling now, probably? She's probably scared, embarrassed.
I don't know. When a woman is abused like that...
And a young one at that.
A young one, taken advantage of by someone older. I don't know the feeling that they go through, but it has to be just terrible. And you don't understand what's happening to the very end, but as of right now... All that happens is Tony, while he is out, finds from the newspaper from one of the capos at a restaurant there that they plan on leaving. And so, and it's funny because I didn't recognize until now that the coach left took up another job because he was having a relationship with one of the players.
Yeah.
So you keep fast forwarding the rest of the coach. Silvio and Artie Bucco try to go talk to the coach, trying to see what's going on, and he explains it to them that, I took up an offer. Move on to the next scene. What is Junior's shorty's name?
I don't remember her name, but this is a funny scene to me. This whole episode is funny because
it's around.
I've never seen a grown man get so offended because he eat pussy.
Yeah. So they're talking, and she talks about how he's like this great person who gives head, which I guess was embarrassing for Italian men. He said they find out that
he said pussy. You suck that, you suck anything.
They find out I'm a fanook, which I'm guessing is a derogatory term for LGBTQ person. And, you know, tell him to keep it to himself. Meanwhile, Artie Bucco and Tony, in one of my favorite scenes, Artie Bucco and Tony are at a restaurant. And as Tony's at a restaurant, this young white dude is with his girlfriend and have his hat on. Tony said, hey, why don't you take the hat off?
Huh? Some respect. Have some respect. You're not in a fucking game.
And the waiter tells Tony, thank you. They say, you know, Artie is not in the mob, nowhere near the mob, but he still has a little bit of mobbish mentality in him. But the rest of the next scene is Allie with Tony, Allie with Meadow, and they're chilling at the house. They're trying to check up on Allie. Allie's like, oh yeah, I'm good. You know, they're fine. For the rest of the episode, here comes Paulie and a few other of the associates are outside of Coach Hauser's house, and they get him a brand new 50-inch TV. He said, hey, I'm signed, but the TV stays here. They're trying to find a way to keep him in here. They got this big, enormous 50-inch TV, which has the big back, which I'm so thankful we don't live in the times where the TV had the big back. In fact, my TV is almost as thin as my phone.
I remember the big back days, man.
And they're trying to find a way to keep Coach Hauser around, but they still have not found a way to keep Coach Hauser around. But they're still exploring their options. I think the really interesting thing about this season is, I mean, this episode is the fact that it literally, the pacing, we talked about two episodes before, it's episode 7, how the pacing was a little bit slower. This episode moves. I mean, you look up and you're already at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
The scenes I'm describing, you're probably 3/4 of the way done.
Yeah, exactly. Like when you're going over the runaround, it's like, damn, nigga, we at like the 35 minute mark.
Exactly. And so, Another attempt to get Coach Hauser to stay, they steal his dog. Petey, I think his name was. Still Coach Dog Petey. And basically, Chris like, hey, man, I thought I saw your dog. I'm an animal lover. And Tony then tells Meadow that, hey, I think Coach Hauser is staying. And Meadow gets upset that Coach Hauser is staying. And
he didn't know why.
No. And she's saying, why in the world are you upset that he's leaving? You know, like, you know, you don't have to love him to be successful. But then she then tells him because he is sleeping with one of the students. Coach Hauser had sex with Allie is the exact word. And in Tony's head, and she that explains why. That's why Allie cut herself. You can see Tony. Oh, man.
He lost it in his head.
I so wish he got to whack this dude. But he was about to lose it in his head. He's like, what? Hold on. Whoa. What? And he was trying to find a way. He said, trying to find a way to explain it and rationalize in his head. But I don't know, like, what would you do in that situation?
Realistically,
I'd kill him.
Well, I mean, look, this is you're gonna be a level of angry that you probably never experienced before because it's too close to home. You know what I'm saying? If you're Tony and not, you know, her father or whoever the fuck. If it's her father, niggas gotta die. You know what I'm saying? Niggas gotta die. If you're Tony, you're very concerned. I'll probably take my kid out of the school.
Oh.
And I'll press that nigga.
And Tony, one of the, I love this. And I love James Gandolfini's acting. Because after he tries to rationalize and gets his victim blaming out the way, he starts realizing that, no, he's just a predator. He was like, I'm losing my fucking mind here. And Tony is just pissed. I'm thinking, oh, yes, this is the one murder I'm going to be upset with. And this is and Meadow did not want to tell her father. Why?
Because she knew how to react.
She know what Tony does. She know how Tony get down, and Tony will kill him. And so meanwhile, Tony goes to back to Bada Bing. When they meet, I want to say, is it Bada Bing when they had like the pools and everything, pool tables?
Yeah, it was the Bada Bing. It was in the back of the Bada Bing when he told like Paulie and them.
But I think it is.
It was Bada Bing.
Okay. But Tony, Sylvie, and Artie comes in while Sylvie talking. Sylvie and Tony are already pissed. And it's funny how Steven Van Zandt, who was never had acted before this, he did such a great job as Sylvie. Artie is like, Artie is starting to find out, like, it's another, once again, a realization. He said, what? He fucked him? Like, he does his shit, like, he fucked, and he's just getting angry and angry and angry. And in this scene, this is one of the few episodes where Tony is, I want to say he does something for the father. I mean, does something for Meadow. Because all of them are talking about dying. And freaking Artie told Tony he got to die. Artie knows what his homie does. He's like, nope, he has to die. And basically saying how he deserves it. And so they exit out. You go back to Junior. Is he in Boca? I'm guessing he's in Boca simply because it's called Boca. But Tony meets him at the golf course. Or maybe it's after he returned from Boca. He's at the golf course and Junior is trying to flex a little muscle on Tony. And Tony starts to make a few jokes on Junior's behalf. He said, Uncle June's in the muff. Basically talk about how they're playing golf, but also how he's a muff diver, which I
but
guess
see, this is after he found out from Carm. Yeah. And McCarm may want to tell him.
Yeah. Yeah. And basically tells him that he's a muff diver. And Tony is about to go on his way to whack Coach Hauser, but Artie, after talking with his wife is bad too, but the eyebrows, I just can't get over the eyebrows. All the eyebrows within the show are terrible. Tony calls off the hit, even though he truly, truly wanted to. There's a scene where he stares over the phone, has alcohol in his hand, licking his hand, and he just doesn't do it. And he's doing it because he's getting pressure from his daughter and he's getting pressure from his best friend. You end the episode with Junior getting mad at his old girl, telling her you're fired and basically get out of here because
he ran up on her.
Yeah, ran up on her, threw a pie in her face. He wanted to hit her. He wanted to hit her, threw a pie in his face, and the left out told her get her shit and get out of here. But the actual episode's in with Sylvie's outside of Coach House's house, about to kill him. Tony calls it off, and it ends with him sitting on the couch drunk. Looking on the first he finds out it's about a being and he's sitting, I guess I don't know who called the police. It'd be hilarious if he just if he snitched and told the police it happened.
Yeah.
But Tony comes home, Tony's drunk, he's slipping and falling. He tells Meadow that, you know, he didn't do it, that he didn't call the police on her. Well, he tells Carm that. Then he falls asleep with a towel on his head. And I guess it's the one instance where Tony has like this moral guilt of doing what he's doing. Like, will he ruin another? He's already going to be ruined as a family, as a man, because he slept with a child. But to then murder him, Tony breaks it off. And even Carmella and Meadow are both shocked. And that ends episode 9, Boca. And I'd have to give episode 9 out of 10.
Yeah. You know,
my only issue is I wanted him to get murdered. Like, I wanted Coach Allison to get whacked. If it's anybody, I wanted him to get whacked. What would you give that episode?
I give it a 9 out of 10. I definitely wanted him to get whacked, and I was actually surprised that we didn't get him whacked, because as soon as I originally heard that, you know, what was happening, I was like, oh, this nigga, that's an easy kill whack right there. That's going to happen for sure. I was just trying to figure out which way they were going to do it. But it did kind of show Tony, I guess, like a human side of Tony that we don't see much, and the fatherly love side.
Yeah, and that's why I think he was drinking at the end, simply because he is like basically reconciling or reckoning the what he's done and the terribleness he's done to other people's lives. But the one time he doesn't do it, and it's like he gives himself credit. He tells Carmella, I didn't do it. Basically, like, he's happy that for once.
He let it slide for one time.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to episode 10 of The Sopranos, my last episode for this episode. and this is called A Hit Is a Hit. This episode starts off with Polly, Chris, and Big Pussy. They're going to rob, I don't know if the nigga is either Dominican or Colombian.
He's Colombian. Tells,
okay. And they will basically tell him, tell your boss that you should have done this, that, and the third. And he said, okay, I'll tell him. And then Paulie was like, yeah, that's the thing. We already told him twice. And they make a big score, which looks to be like all ones, fives, tens. But they made this huge score. And Tony even says this is very rare. And this episode is interesting because
I'm not a fan of this episode.
I do not mind the episode simply because it's like Tony gets a taste of that racism that he spits out himself, you know? You'll see it as he goes to Juan Valdez is the dude that they killed. So I'm guessing that's, I don't know. There's some Latino is all I know.
Well, they say in the synopsis, Colombian drug dealer.
Okay. Well, Tony then is the next scene. He is chilling with his neighbor, Cusimano. And they're just talking. He's talking about, hey, you should come to the country club with us. And, you know, just hang out with us. And Tony's going to eventually take up on his offer. You see now Tony is back with Paulie and Chris. They're going over their score. Tony has Ren, this Russian side piece there. Then Chris and Adriana, bad. Does not deserve Adriana. They're at this restaurant. Looks like
my Yakubian princess.
Somewhere in a Negro neighborhood.
This is why I had a problem with this episode. Because one, you had my man Bokeem playing a rapper.
Bokeem Woodbine.
Yeah. But what rapper you know in 2001 dressing like he did?
With the 99?
And
that's
no,
a 1997 Biggie outfit. So
this is 2000, yeah. 2001.
This is 1999, sir.
Okay, 1999. Still. Biggie only wore that for like certain albums.
This
album
is March
covers.
14th. This is early 2099, sir.
It came off real stereotypical to me. The weak ass chains, little dumbass hat. That's what I didn't like. And I just didn't really care about Adriana's quest to be an A&R.
I guess, I mean, I'm looking at Massive Genius is his name.
Yeah, Massive Genius.
He's a drug dealer slash
rapper.
That's
a 1985 ass rap name.
It is. He's a drug dealer slash rapper. I mean,
getting to explain it to for people who don't know who he is.
He is, I'm going to say he's connected, but he's connected in the area that he's connected in Jersey. And he is just a rapping a drug dealer. Which is, basically as basic as I can put it. Let me see if I can find him. Yeah, he is a rapper, and he's a smoother, though. He's a rapper, and he is he knows hash. So he has a little bit of, I want to say, connection.
Yeah.
But basically, he runs that area, has his own crew, comes in with his freaking blue suede hat suit. And he is about to get into it as they're at this freaking regular pop-up store. I mean, restaurant, ribs and all that and everything. And he's about to get into it with Chris Soprano. The dudes behind him do have... I had to literally put up the episode to see. Them niggas do have, like...
vests on and shit.
I mean, he dressed like a 90s nigga.
Niggas are not dressed like that in the 90s. Yeah. But, it just looked real stereotypical. What do rappers wear? Give him a platinum chain with a suit and a cane and a pimp hat.
They're about to get into it until... the police officer who is there knows that Chris is a semi-made man. He literally says he's semi-hooked up with the Tony Soprano.
He said he only talks like that because he's semi-hooked up with Soprano him.
Yeah. And so then Massive basically invites him to his party because he has a business he wants to take care of. And Chris obliges him. They have a little intense scene where Massive has this nice little... And this is, once again, it's kind of, maybe it is a bit stereotypical because he has like this diamond gun.
Yeah, it was annoying.
Get a nigga, get a freaking bold nigga here.
What do black rappers do?
Chris sees all of this and Chris gets jealous because he's seeing a black gangster who is not a made man in the Italian mafia, but has much more money than Chris does by far.
He's intimidated.
You know, he has a Bentley. He has a club. He's making hella money. And Chris is like, dude,
he commands respect.
You know what I'm saying? And Chris is wondering why he's not getting the same thing that he is getting. And this is when you start to see that Chris is not in the mafia for the sake of obtaining or keeping the family as it is. He's just in the safe because he wants the fame and the attention that comes from it. And so the rest of the episode, he's talking with Adriana about basically what he wants to do and how he wants to make his life basically a statement. And then Adriana talks to him about being an A&R. She's got this group, Defiler is their name, about how they're going to be really good and how this can set them off. And Chris wanting to find another income stream, another avenue, you know, okays it with Adriana and says, sure, basically let it happen. The next scene then comes with Massive and Hesh and Tony Soprano and his crew about, and Paulie. I don't think Chris, was Chris there? I'm not sure.
Chris wasn't basic, there.
And this is basically
was Paulie about, even there?
Paulie was there. Paulie was there.
They were like a ranch kind of, right?
Yeah, they were at Hesh's ranch. And telling him about how back in the day, Hesh and a few of his partners were responsible for bankrolling local black artists. One of those black artists came to be a woman that he know. And basically saying that you have the masters to a hit that she made, and he would like it if
he gave
it.
I think it was a family member of his.
Yeah, like it if he gave it back. Now, once again, Master Genius doesn't need this, but this episode goes to show how racism has permeated throughout Hollywood as well. Yeah. Because a black person makes a song, who's the person who gets rich off it?
White Hesh. People.
You know, Hesh gets rich off it. He's a Hasidic Jew. He gets rich off of this. Meanwhile, this person that Massive knows, this lady who wrote the song, she's poor. She's poor, even though she's the genius behind the song. And Massive knows not to overstep his boundary. I really wish I would have saw Massive more in this season because I think his character could have contributed a lot more.
Can't have too many niggas on screen.
Yeah, I know. Basically, like, I know him and Chris are trying. Him and Chris form a little cool relationship. Massive Genius is flirting with Adriana the whole time. Adriana wants to give him, you know, she wants to give Massive the draws. Shout out to Bokeem Wilbomber, a legend in the game.
Legend in the game. A lot of legendary roles.
And he can play so many different roles.
Well, I won't say legendary roles, but he knows how to stay. He knows how to keep a check.
I will call him a legendary actor because of his longevity, especially among black actors. What black actors have longevity like he is? Not what person was this? He's a B-level actor, and he's remained that way since the 90s. And it's never changed. And he's a fantastic actor. Like, he's very diverse in his level of roles. So then Massive, Chris, and Adriana go out to this club to hear this group that Adriana A&R'd. And Massive is a little bit interested. Wants to find out a little bit, but they continue to find out. They continue to work it out. Then there's a few scenes later. Tony is back talking with Dr. Melfi. Nothing too important happens there, but Tony goes into a barbecue with Cusimano and Cusimano's little white friends, and they basically start to treat Tony like an outcast. When I talked about that racism, they were saying, hey, you know, I have a company that's going public. I have this, that, and the stocks. And Tony does not know what's going on at all.
Yeah.
This is not Tony's bad. It's funny because you would think Italian people who lived like that and understood that in the United States would not act like that way toward Negroes, but they still do. So Tony starts to understand. Even when Carmela's with Cusimano's wife and they're talking about everything, she still feels like she's an outcast. It feels like they don't fit in, you know? And it's very intriguing. I did my mind the episode because it starts to basically expose the hypocrisies of Italian racism against black people. I want to say Carmella's looking decent this episode.
Oh, can we stop with the Carmella love every fucking episode?
Shout out to Carmella, bro. She was kitted up, bro. Had the diamonds on her. Black chain, the V-neck. She was fine.
You talk about Carmella pressing Tony over money, which began in this episode.
You can go ahead and explain that.
Okay, so pretty much, I guess Carmella started getting paranoid about the way Tony was living life and was starting to figure out, and I think this had a lot to do with, the fallout from Jackie's death. I'm not too sure that he left his family with too much bread or whatever. But she started thinking about that. And she started questioning Tony about you know, looking more into their finances so she can have more control over their finances, just in case if he did go, that they will be fine. And Tony being the egotistical, what's the other word I'm looking for? Chauvinistic, macho type guy that he is. There's a word I'm looking for that's just not hitting me right now. He's basically like, I got it. Chill the fuck out. I got it. I'm not finna leave my family, you know, out here hurting if something does happen to me. But Carmella just wasn't fine with that. And her friends introduce her to a stock market and gives her a tip. And she started buying into the stock market and stuff like that behind Tony's back. So that's what we really started seeing. And I think that's like one of the friction between her and Tony that you're going to see evolve more and more in upcoming seasons kind of started. Where she was starting not to trust this nigga.
Yeah. The next scene, of course, ends up with Tony. It's that massive chilling with Adriana and Chris. And Chris starts to notice at a bar. Chris starts to notice the massive is only interested in her group because he likes her. He's trying to sleep with her.
He wouldn't drop that peen on her.
That's literally the only reason. And Chris starts to notice this. And then I guess I'll skip over to the next part. Chris tells her that he's only interested because he wants you.
You think they care about your music? He just wants to fuck you.
And Chris tells Adriana. Adriana gets pissed, leaves the apartment, storms out. Then you fast forward to the next scene, and Hash is talking to Massive and saying, basically, you're not going to give you the rights to any of this. And Massive says, you're here for my lawyer. And that's pretty much all you hear from Massive for the rest of the season.
Yeah, you don't see this nigga for the rest of the series.
Which is a disappointment because there was something there. And then Chris talks to Massive about the group. And Massive's like, they're all right, but that's not a hit. Then he played him something else and tells him, this is a hit. And they laugh and that's that. And Tony goes to golf with Cusimano's friends. Tony gets embarrassed because they're basically using him as a fetish. You know what I mean? Like, they're using him to talk about the mafia life. They want to find out. It's like a hood safari. It's smart. They said in Smart Guy.
You know, safaris. Shout out Jason Weaver.
They want to find out what's going on in the mob life without getting in touch. And then make Tony, when he's talking to Dr. Melfi, he said he felt like somebody's dancing bear. You know what I mean? Not that dancing bear that you all are thinking, which is porn related. But you don't know that's kind of...
No, I don't.
You wildin', bro. It's a classic one there. But Tony tells Dr. Melfi that, and Dr. Melfi explains to him. And he basically... And it's funny because in that moment, this is why Tony's a terrible person. In that moment, you would think that would make him feel terrible. And that would make him feel like, man, I'm being used. Why do I use people? But it doesn't. Tony just gets worse as the season goes on.
He don't give a fuck.
But Tony does get back at him. Tony fills his box up with, like, sand and wraps it in, like, freaking chicken wire and hands it to Cusimano and says, hey, you know, you hold on to it for me. When I need it, I'll get it back from you. And Cusimano was like, okay. And Cusimano and his wife are worried to death. They think that Tony has, like, a body chopped up in here, something dangerous that they shouldn't be involved with, and they're terrified to know what it truly is. And all Tony has in there is freaking sand.
Yeah.
And he's trying to play a game on them.
A scare tactic
because they used him. They used him. And so that ends season one, episode 10, A Hit is a Hit. I'd give it a 6 out of 10.
I'd give it a 6. I'm going to give it a 5. This is not one of my favorite episodes. I really just hate the rap stereotype here to the point where it kind of like diminishes the actual progress that you get in this actual episode. And like I said, it's nothing against Bo King. I think he's a good actor. His longevity is something we need to respect. But I just felt like it was a lot of pointless filler in this episode.
It's definitely a filler episode. Yeah. Because the next episode... Episode 11 starts to kick it up. Episode 11 is called Nobody Knows Anything. And this is literally the synopsis says Jimmy and Pussy's drafted in an FBI raid. Very, very key because it starts to wonder if Pussy is involved with the feds, which right. Was he involved at that point?
He was involved. No, if you can watch season 2, he's been involved with the feds since 98.
So it goes back.
Yeah.
So when they asked him when Pussy came back randomly, he's in Tony's driveway and says, hey, and Tony gets scared and Tony's wondering where he's been. Was he already involved with the feds then?
He's been involved since 90. And season 2, they introduce you to the fed that he talks to.
Another Italian nigga.
Yeah, and he's been in, he said, you've been in bed with us since 98.
Okay. So that ends the episode. And I think season 11, 12, and 13 are very, very good episodes.
Yeah, when we do we're going to do the next episode is when the climax to this season is when you get the most action. I just felt like these two episodes, while good, were bridge episodes. And this one was a lot of filler. And this is probably the only episode. I mean, what else? Episodes of season four. I'm not, season four is my least favorite out of the six. What else? Filler. And it was kind of like, okay, I could have deal without a lot of this. I just really didn't care for the Master of Genius storyline.
I wouldn't have minded the Master of Genius storyline if I heard more about him, you know. And the Goodfellas. I mean, I feel like every mafia movie, there's always a connection with black gangsters, and they never go farther. It's because these movies like to play up Italian mafia dudes who made it all on their own, didn't get anybody's help. But it's not the truth. Like
every white man, crime is so much different from black people.
Dog, like every white man in America, they use black people along the way. When they wanted to start selling drugs, they use black people to sell drugs. They made black folks do their dirty work, and they're always revered. Something like freaking current mob bosses who go out and talk, they're revered and say, oh, this thing of ours, and they have these nice websites and YouTubes because people are attracted to it. Meanwhile, black gangsters are looked at as thugs, dirty, rotten rats.
Scum of the earth.
Meanwhile, Italian mobsters will kill off your whole family and get out for it because they're ingrained with the police. Black folks can't get on with that. And so the only movie about black mob that I think was very good was Hoodlum.
Hoodlum was real good money movie.
Lawrence Fishburne. Because even you hear him talking with Lucky Luciano, he plays Bumpy Johnson. Lawrence Fishburne, and he controls his racket, he controls his hood.
What about American Gangster?
Yeah, I don't like American Gangster.
You don't like American Gangster?
Nah, I was kind of trashed.
What? Oh, what?
Denzel was great. Idris Elba for his maybe half of the movie was pretty solid, but I didn't.
Really, Russell Crowe was great in that movie.
Russell Crowe was Russell Crowe. It's the same person.
Nah, he wasn't Russell Crowe in that movie, bro.
It was cool. But Hoodlum is my favorite one about black gangsters because Lucky Luciano at the end, who's played by, he's in Godfather 3. He's Sonny's illegitimate child who ends up becoming the mob boss of the Corleone family. I forgot his name, but he plays Lucky Luciano and basically said, I understand what you're doing, but we need you to earn money. And you get to find out how black mobs have always been involved. So Sopranos is no different. The black characters get played down. You know, they're flashy. And so this is racism that goes even to the director of the show.
I think the only, like, drug dealing crime show that has a lot of white people or black people where it's just as big or bigger would probably be The Wire. That's it.
Yeah. 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 So, but that is episode 10. This is episode 5 of ours.
Yes.
Once again, as we say at the end of every episode, this is on Patreon. You can see the season finale of this of our season finale, episode 6, where we gave in six episodes we covered six episodes of this, we covered 13 episodes of season 1 of The Wire.
The Wire, you mean Sopranos?
The Wire of Sopranos. Next episode, we'll give you where we would rank this with the rest of the seasons. But thank you all for listening. Once again, it's Patreon, so going over to episode 6. Here, let's talk about the finale. Mikey Palmice gets whacked. It's one of my favorite moments because he cries like a bitch. And if you're not subscribed, you're listening to it on Apple Podcasts. You're listening to this on Spotify. Next week, we'll have the next episode. You'll be able to hear all of us. And once again, bro, we did this for you all, bro. Content. We've been pushing out a podcast today.
Yeah.
If you don't know, that's tiring.
It's very tiring.
But we did this all because we appreciate the support and we love doing what we do. So thank you all for listening. Go on to the next episode now. You already subscribed, Patreon subscribers. Go on to listen to the next episode. We got y'all.